And in 1 Samuel 3, and I take as a text, verse 10. The Lord came and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The child Samuel heard a voice. We do not hear a voice. The scriptures are complete, and the Lord speaks through his holy word. But precisely and exactly the same effect is achieved by the calling of the Lord through his word as by the direct voice of the Lord to Samuel. We mistrust voices in the head, not least because our thoughts are sinful and we have no ways of telling what we think we ought to do or what we think we heard is of the evil one or is true. So it is wise advice to stick to the words of God and those things which the Lord leads us to think as a result of meditation in them. But the child Samuel heard that voice. And he didn't know what he was hearing. And this is part of what I want to emphasize today. We hear the call of the Lord through the words of the scriptures. He reaches out to us. He draws us to himself. And maybe when it begins to happen, we don't quite know what's happening. That was not my experience. I was not brought up in a Christian home. And I've often told you about when we were away on a Christian house party, that we were there and there was an earthquake. And none of us had ever experienced an earthquake. But all of us, without even being together, knew what it was. And when the Lord first spoke to me through the scriptures within a few weeks of hearing the gospel preached, I knew what it was. I'd not been instructed about it, but I knew. And by and large, the Lord authenticates his word, spirit to spirit, deep calling unto deep, that we simply know deeply within us that this is God's word for us now. This is the Lord calling us. But it helps us to get into the subject to look at Samuel. Samuel did not recognize the voice. Samuel heard the voice, and he was ready to be obedient. Look at the speed in which he ran to Eli. Delightful attitude of mind. Great intention to be obedient. But he didn't recognize what was going on. And of course we know the story. And we are told that at that time, words that seemed to indicate that he wasn't converted. In verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He was not used to having communion with him, to closely being spoken to by the Lord and reciprocating with his replies to the Lord. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And what he is about to experience in his call is a revelation. There is no coming into the Christian family without the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, authenticating all that we hear. Without revelation through the scriptures, which are the revealed word of God, there is no understanding. There is no revelation. We do not know what we are to do. And it all begins in the way that it means to go on, and in some ways is even more wonderful. Because the very first time that the Lord reaches out to us and calls us, and we recognize that voice. There may have been many preparations to get us there. There was the preparation of Hannah praying for this child and donating him to the Lord and leaving him with Eli and him learning the temple service. All these were preparations. But the call, the start, that warrant, that deep thing that he knew that nobody could take away, that all would recognize that he was genuinely the Lord's, and in his case set out to be a prophet of the Lord. He had a revelation. It began with a revelation. And our Christian lives all began with the moment when the Lord broke through the scriptures, by whatever verse, by whatever words. But we knew it was for us. It was as if the Lord was saying, Samuel, Samuel, but using our names, not calling us by name in that way, but our own spirits recognizing the call of God through the scriptures. And this was Samuel's first time. He had a religious influence. He had the prayers of his mother and perhaps of Eli behind him. But he didn't yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord was not yet revealed unto him. And we're told in an earlier verse that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It means precious in the sign, in the meaning of valuable, but valuable because rare. The word was not often spoken. There were very few of the scriptures, only the Pentateuch at that time. And there was no open vision. No prophet was receiving a direct word of the Lord that could be made part of the scriptures as these were made part of the scriptures. So it was precious. There was no open vision. And the revelation of God to Samuel's heart that would establish him as a believer and that would establish him as a prophet began, as it meant to go on, from the Lord direct. And the word that the Lord gave to Samuel direct was a word that you would almost think was not for a child's ears. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Just as he knows how to separate between the wicked and the true believer. Just as how he knows how to separate between the precious and the vile. So the Lord knows how to separate and protect the believer that is being brought through terrible times in order to have this end of these turbulence and to have a beginning of peace of God with Christ. So he knows how to protect that child from thinking things which he shouldn't think in view of the things that he was going to have to declare. And then over the years that followed, from his obedience to the Lord, he learned to be a prophet. He learned how to take the word without mincing his words, without withholding any of it, saying the things that were true. Only once did he waver in the matter of Saul, and that was put right anyway. So it's this call, Samuel, Samuel. Notice how persistent the Lord is. But it was a persistence because he was determined to have his man, or have his boy, and because he knew that there was a lack of experience. So he called him three times. And on the third time, he called his name twice. Now that does not give me authority for saying that if you have been disobedient, which Samuel was not, to the words that have been directed to your heart, that the Lord will keep persisting with you. He does, but he doesn't always. It is a risk. But the Lord will have us. And the thing about the calling of the Lord is that it is peremptory. He doesn't propose and say, would you like to come along with me? Would you like to serve me? Would you consider it a worthwhile task in life to serve me and to put aside earthly things? He doesn't approach in that sort of way at all. Now, because I had a guilty conscience, whenever the teachers at school said, Harley, my heart went into my mouth. But when God says, Samuel, or your name, it is elevating. It is precious. It is that he would deal with you in a way that men don't know. It's a revealed way from heaven which the majority of mankind denies. That's why they fight the scriptures. They don't believe. It's a revelation from God. Everything must start with man. But true faith in Christ, begins with the movement of God through his Son, through the Holy Spirit, into the soul of those whom he would call. And we do well to recognize what is going on. You may recognize that the Lord is calling you when Scripture becomes interesting. Now you think, that's an odd thing to say. I've indicated to you that Samuel had preparation before this call came. He'd had the prayers of his mother. He'd had the devotion to Eli, to the service of the temple, and whatever experience Eli in his depraved way could give him. But now comes the actual time. And likewise, the scriptures are a preparation time. It's why we teach children Sunday school. It's why we encourage people, even if they're not saved, to read the Bible. For by it the Lord speaks. And as we read it, we're sifted. If you find within your heart, for every time you read the Bible, it's getting more and more attractive. Or to use other words, you're getting more and more addicted to it. You may know that the Lord is calling. And you should therefore know how to respond. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If, on the other hand, you find it very difficult to pick up the Bible, easier to pick up Agatha Christie, easier to pick up the sports page, find it very difficult to concentrate for 10 minutes when you do pick it up, then you're in great danger. Because you are pushing away the revelation, the only hope, the only way by which God reaches out to the men and women and boys and girls he's reaching out to. And you are pushing the time further back and the opportunity further away. And as it is at present, you are not awakened. If he is speaking to you, it hasn't become apparent to you. It's a preparatory time, a pre-preparing time. Maybe you're in infant school or preparatory school, but no way even making a beginning in the schooling. For the Spirit always creates a love of his word. And without that, there is nothing. Of course, the Lord may do it spontaneously. And he may do it immediately. At the time he calls, he may give you the love. That does happen. But if you want to understand what is happening in your life, I'm saying, if you feel this drawing, it is tantamount to hearing the voice of the Saviour calling to you out of the scriptures, calling to you to be saved, calling to you to follow him. And as Samuel, it is a time to obey. However, though the Lord may call as at other times, there are other passages in the scriptures which speak of the calling of the Lord. And the most prominent was the one that we read in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are the called, according to his purpose. Now you see that, don't you? You see the correlation? All things work together for good, but only to certain people. Those certain people are those who love God. But they are further defined as those who have been called. So before loving God, there first has to be the calling of God in accordance with his purpose for your life, and your love is out of the response to that calling. We love him because he first loved us and conveyed that love to our heart. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then he explains. He says, before this, the Lord knew all that he was going to do. And all the people that were ever going to be born. This is massive, it's way beyond us. All the complications of genealogies, all the complications of who marries whom and who doesn't marry whom. He knew the lot. And out of that number he selected whom he would for the purposes of glorifying his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And them in due course he called, but we're not there yet, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. So he knew them before, not what they were going to be like. It doesn't mean it in that sense. He knew everything that he would create within them. But he didn't say because he knew. He didn't say because he knew the sort of gifts they were have and would have and thought they would be all right. He saved sinners as sinners. And some of the choices he makes are of the most desperate sinners. And indeed every believer will believe it for himself that as far as he knows, he is the most desperate sinner. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. That is to say, he destined beforehand their calling, their life's work. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, but supremely he predestinated that they would be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. So before the Lord calls any of us, or before we were called, if we have already been called, lies all this purpose of the Lord, that there should be a people who will be lined up in character like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, that's his lifetime's work. The lifetime aim of God, the lifetime work of the Lord Jesus in dying for our sins on Calvary, the lifetime ministry of the Spirit in our lives, is to conform each one of us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful calling. You say, you give up before you start, as like it's not, so I'll never be like that. That is not a proper response, I have to say. What the Lord says he will do, he will do. And he will conform those whom he calls to a likeness of the image of his firstborn Son. But moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified, but we'll just go as far as the called. So when the Lord calls deep within the heart of a believer, this is something that has been planned from eternity. Something that the Lord will have. Him that says when he calls, he doesn't propose, he summons. And therefore, to hear that voice is not a voice that you can refuse. Because when the Lord gives that, in that moment of his call, he creates a great desire and a great longing and a recognition, not by nature, but by the working of the Spirit, that this is the one thing, that this is the great thing that was desirable, that I should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and called into the service of his kingdom. It's amazing how much the Spirit of God can impart when he first calls. With Samuel, there was quite a lengthy and very intricate and difficult message for a youngster. And when the Lord calls, he doesn't just call by name deep in our heart. He gives us an inkling, a moment of understanding what our life is all going to be about, even if it's going to be worked out in much detail over much time. But without that calling, there is no progress. Without that calling, there is no evidence that we were ever elect. Not that that is the way to look at it. But if we know something of the love for the scriptures, if we felt a warming towards certain of the words of the scriptures, if it's beginning to dawn on us that the scriptures are lovely, then the Lord is calling us. And we should not delay our response. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The Lord Jesus himself cautions against a false sense of call, or rather a misuse of the word call. The Lord Jesus does explain that there is a calling and a calling. And if you want to turn to Matthew 20 and verse 16, you'll recognize the passage immediately. And again, I'm not going to go into the whole illustration, but the Lord Jesus lays it down in Matthew 20, and also in Matthew 22, but in chapter 20 and verse 16, many be called. Many are called. Same Greek words identically in chapter 22, whereas many are called, but few chosen. Now the situation there is different. It's a different illustration. The calling he's speaking here is not the same. Let me give you an illustration if you like. Here is the football team going up. You know the squad. Many are called, many are in the squad, but not everybody's going to be chosen for the game. You get the idea? You've got the picture anyway, haven't you? Many can be called, but not everybody is involved. Many are called, but few chosen. And as Jesus is illustrating it here, it means that many people hear the gospel preached, but it does nothing for their heart. Because though they are among the many called by the gospel, they're not chosen. It does nothing. It's like a lead balloon. It doesn't move them. It doesn't move them to heights. It doesn't thrill them. See? Many are hearing the gospel. Regrettably, many don't even hear the gospel or only hear a part of the gospel. Many don't read the Bible. But everyone who shall be saved does read. Does hear. Does respond. Many are called. The theologians distinguish between these two calls by referring to the call Samuel, as an effectual call, an effective call. Not one of which you could say many are called but take no notice. This is a call which is imperative. This is a call which is a must. This is a call that when you hear it, you come. And you know you come, and you know you want to come, and you're grateful to the Saviour for ever lighting upon you. Many are called, but few chosen. But that's referring to the net of the gospel cast, and good and bad are brought in through it. But this call, this effectual call, this call that will have, and yet which is so sweet, so lovely. You want to go, you want to believe. This is the Lord dealing with your hearts, and there is no reason to delay. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, again we have this wonderful aspect of it to which Paul refers when he's dealing with the Corinthians. You see your calling, brethren. Have you thought about your calling, brethren, he says? Have you thought about what the significance of the Lord calling you? You see your calling, brethren. Look around you. How that not many wise men after the flesh? That's not you, is it? How that not many mighty? That's not you. How that not many noble? That's not you, are called. When you think about it, there are some wise, some mighty, some noble, but not very many. And you begin to realize what a wonderful thing the Lord has done, that he should have called you, that he should have chosen you for his service, that he should have chosen you, not because of anything you've done, but only out of his great love and long before you were born. But it's you, and now is the calling time. What a wonderful time it is. Now is the calling time. You see your calling, that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Just as the children praise him, so he chooses such. And this calling should not be delayed in any way by you saying, I don't think I'm worthy for this. If God says you're worthy, you are worthy. Again, not because of anything in yourself, but you are worthy because he's died for you. Because he's covered you with his blood. Because he has said you are one of his own. You are blood bought. You are one of his priests. You are one of his kings. It's only for that reason, not for anything in yourself. But from now on, you're not responding to things according to the flesh. You don't say, I am not worthy. The Lord makes you worthy, you are worthy. And then you'll forget about the worthiness. It'll just be normal. But the Lord has given you the status, the standing, the position, that calling. The calling is described in Hebrews 3 and Philippians 3 as a heavenly calling, as a high calling, an upward calling, if you like. This is a calling above every calling. Now, we do in English use the word calling. We sort of say, oh, if you're a doctor, it must be a calling, mustn't it? Or a teacher, or lots of other things. And we somewhat debase the word. Now, the calling here is the act of calling. The act of calling. The moment when God actually delivers you from darkness into his glorious light. When he actually shines upon you and takes away those sins and blots them out by the blood of the Saviour and draws you after him in great love. The act of calling into his service, into his kingdom, is not a calling. Now, Paul speaks of it, that it is an upward calling. But what he means is that this calling lifts you up. This calling directs you to heaven. It's not that you, like some of be doctors and some of be surgeons and some of be professors, that you are a professing Christian. It doesn't mean it in that way. It is a calling that's going to do nothing except exalt you, in the best sense. A calling that is going to take you to heaven, to glory. What a wonderful thing. If you know something of this happening in your heart, then this is what it's signifying. It is the Lord calling you as he called Samuel. Not to be a prophet, but to be a believer. He called him to be a believer and a prophet. He calls you to be a believer and a disciple, and who knows what in the future. Calling. I've always loved the words in Peter, 2 Peter 1:10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I marvel at them and wonder at them, because you would have thought election was as sure as it could be. What diligence does it need to make that sure? But of course our perception of it is governed by our proclivity to sin. Every sin that we commit makes us, at least for the time being, feel a little separated from God. And who knows if we were ever a Christian, as the thought that Satan puts in our heart. And so there does need to be diligence to make that calling, as well as the election, sure. We need to know that we're walking in the way of the Saviour. We need to know that we're believing in the Scriptures and following the Scriptures and walking in holiness and love. We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. That's what it means by giving diligence to make our calling sure. But our calling is back to basics. And our calling takes us from ourselves to the Lord. For He called us, we didn't call Him. And it takes us back to the origin of revelation in our life. The origin of our love of the things that God reveals and not the things that begin with man. Indeed, it may even be that we hate the things that begin with man because they draw us off from God and they send us astray. And so we're on the lookout for those teachings that are basically from man and from below and even sensual and devilish. But we learn to love from the very beginning that which is revealed from God, the calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord may lead, use whatever passage He delights to use to call a person. As you read, or as you hear spoken, the words, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," you will say, "That's me! This instant, that is me!" Or you may hear the words given to the disciple, "Follow me!" And you say, "Now, done." You may not use those words, but you know it's as emphatic as that. Or there may be a greater part. It may be, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." And you may know, "I'm one of them," in that instant. But whatever the words that the Lord chooses, He gives power, both to begin and to believe. Not all men have faith. But He gives the faith. And you set out on that journey. And from the very beginning you love the things of Christ that are revealed in the Scriptures. You love the whole concept of revelation from heaven. You love the whole concept of the smallness of man, but the greatness and wonder of salvation in Christ. To love the idea of serving the Lord so gladly in response to that love. And therein begins a way which is above all other ways. A way which alone will bring you to glory. The narrow way that leads to life. And the greatest privilege known to mankind. To serve the living God. Through His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Saviour. May the Lord be calling us. And may those who've begun still know the calling. To continue as if it was just yesterday they were first called. Amen.